rejoice. We're finally out at sea again, with all our ties to land cast off. The last of it went under with the sun. The night surrounds us now, the sails softly pulling. The others lie asleep below. Only the stars appear to keep me company on this mute and vacant sea. Though all is featureless and bare, when last I checked the chart, it showed that near at hand lie unseen, unnamed ocean glades where humpback whales glide and sing. All at their majestic, glacial pace, great, gentle, cloud-like beings drifting with currents too slow to sense. As we approach their range, our boat bows and curtsies in graceful, mazy arcs. I lean my back against the helm and watch the mast sweeping across vast fields of stars. Infinite landlessness. I would not trade this hour for anything I know. Rock me gently, ocean. I'm coming home. A long, dark wire winds and coils down through the midnight ship to a listening point beneath the keel. Up, out of the dark waters pour wild arias, cantatas, magnificats, recitatives and requiems whose boiling echoes are tumbling and cascading around the cathedral vaults of the sea. A mad welter of resonance, a seething, irrepressible contrabass, mezzo, soprano, falsetto of whale song. The wildest, most joyous music of all. All night long we are borne along by that music. The watches rotate and shift. Each lone helmsman takes his turn. And each, by dawn, is changed forever.
Thank you. Come, everyone, all you people. Come, things above. Come, angels, sun, and moon. Come, places of the earth. Come, mountains, hills, and trees. Come, kings and rulers. Come, old and young. Come, things of deep. Come, dolphins, fish, and great whales. For God is greater than the highest things. Come, everyone. Come, all people. Come, all you people.
Friends, we praise God best when we extend love, when we build community, and when we spread peace. So let's praise God with hearts and hands stretched out to one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Friends, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. On this day, where we remember God, the author of all creation, where we remember that God called us to be stewards of that creation rather than consumers, I bid you welcome in the name and spirit of the Prince of Peace, the resurrected one who danced and flowers blossomed where he landed. So on this day, as trees and bushes push forth new leaves, I welcome those yearning for our creating and recreating God. As grass and seed push upward toward the life and light of the sun, I welcome those who are searching for our forgiving and loving God. As birds once more send forth their song, I welcome all of you, because each of you are God's love song just waiting to be sung. As creation comes alive in beauty and mystery, I welcome you because you are God's creation made in God's very own image. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, know that you are welcome here. On this morning, as we celebrate Care for Creation Sunday, a special thank you to the Board of Mission and Action, to the Green Team, to Kathy, and to all of you for coming here to worship and praise God. This place is a place that is full of life. In your bulletins, you will find this goldenrod sheet of paper. I ask you to take it out and look it over that you might know of the many and different ways that you can get involved in the community here. I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make to come forward here that you might do it now. As they come forward, a couple of quick things for you. First of all, if you are new here, I invite you to fill out one of the pew cards and to place it in the offering plate as it goes by so that I might reach out and send you another greeting. Second, I want to announce a change in the time for our study on the Pope's encyclical on climate change. We had our first meeting last week, and it was wonderful. And given a unanimous decision by that group, we are moving the time to Monday mornings at 8:30. If that works for you, come on and join us. If it doesn't, my deepest apologies. Patty.
Good morning. I'm Patty Strouch with the Music Committee, and I have two quick announcements. 2 weeks ago, you might remember that some of us did a little song and dance routine to remind you that in 2 weeks is the talent show on Saturday, May 7th at 4 p.m. If you haven't had a chance to sign up yet, you still have time. Remember, we don't need professionals. You can do anything you want to do. Sing, dance, talk, tell a joke, juggle, whatever. We'd like to see you there. And this is a fresh announcement, not in the Goldenrod sheet. Our next and last Music on Main for this season has been scheduled for Saturday, June 11th at 4 p.m. It is Yi Jin Yuk, a young pianist from our area. You might be familiar with him. And this is the last opportunity to see him before he goes off to college. And it is not to be missed. So put that on your calendars now. Thank you.
There's also a grass green insert. And on one side of it is a survey. Last week we heard from Alice about the wonderful things that Service League does for God's people. And today we're celebrating God's creation, all of it. And so this is a wonderful time for springing forward to the summer when we are going to have a vacation Bible school, intergenerational, one evening and one day on the weekend. And we have a survey. And if you think you're too old for Bible school, your kids are too young for Bible school, you are too hip for Bible school, and nobody says hip anymore, but anyway, shows I'm not hip. So anyway, you're none of those things with respect to filling out a survey. So they are in your bulletin, and we would very much appreciate if you would fill them out, and you can return them to me if I'm if you see me, or if you don't get them filled out and you want to return them next week, you could just stick them in the CE box. That might be the easiest way. Okay, thanks.
I'm Tracy Wilson. I'm a member of this church and part of the music program. I just want to second the recital by Yijin on June 11th. He's a senior at Berkshire Music School and top merit scholarship winner. He also won top place in the Yule Wade competition. If you want to hear that piano sing, come on June 11th. He's just an amazing young pianist who's accepted to Rice University this fall in Texas. And now going back to Goldenrod, next Saturday, April 30th at 5 p.m., the Stockbridge Festival Chorus does their annual spring concert. And this spring we're doing parts 2 and 3 of Handel's Messiah. And parts 2 and 3 address the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, his life. And our soloists will include Marjorie Dix, John Demler, and two other wonderful soloists coming up from Connecticut, Scott Bailey on organ. So I'd love to see you here next Saturday at 5. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Alice Wilmot, and again, I'm speaking on behalf of Service League. If you were here last week, you will remember that I told you we would be packing up the kits for Church World Service for their desperate need for those who have experienced disasters of one kind or another. And I am here to report that we did indeed do that. We have 53 kits that will be on their way next week. We did 20 school kits, 20 hygiene kits, 13 baby kits, but that's not why I'm here. That's old news. We do that every year. The news this year was that when we realized the disasters that had occurred this year and still are, of the tremendous need there is in this world, we wanted to do more, and we thought if you knew, you would want to join us. And that's the news I bring you I just wish my arms were big enough to give you all a big hug. Because after you heard about it last week, we took in almost $500. That was so wonderful. We were so thrilled. We are still to have a meeting and decide whether or not the Church World Service would rather have the money or the kits, and we'll let you know how that turns out. But in the meantime, I just hope that those of you who contributed to this need will give yourselves a big hug. And what could be more appropriate than what you found waiting for you today, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, and where there is, I'm going to say, disaster, joy. And you, by your act last week, have brought joy to people in this world who have very little of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life."
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are many reasons to look forward to great gatherings of the church. I've had the privilege of representing the Massachusetts Conference at the last two General Synods of the United Church of Christ, where approximately 4,000 people come together to make decisions about the life of our church and about the things that we believe in. One of my favorite parts is to watch the creativity that flows from the various conferences who are in attendance, who try to show their identity in many ways, but most often through T-shirts. At the last one, there was a delegation from Wisconsin. And on the front of it, there was a cow looking right at you. And on that cow, there were commas, you know, our symbol for God is still speaking. And on the front, it said, "God is still speaking." And I thought, oh, that's cute, but it really wasn't great until you saw the back of it. Because on the back of it was the backside of the cow with a big tattoo of a comma, well, right there, with an emphasis on the cow's udders with the words, "utterly in love." Only in church would we laugh at such a thing. There was then the shirts from the folks out in California, a little bit psychedelic, brighter colors than you could imagine, a whole mess of things. Think of, tie-dye on super steroids. And it said, "Celebrating God's great kaleidoscope of creation," a little alliteration, and by the end of it, you were dizzy from looking at the shirt. But there was another one. I don't even remember where it was from, but it was a simple shirt in red with black letters, our unofficial school colors at the UCC. And it simply said, "Partnering with God in the healing of the world." It was a profound statement that reminds us of a core truth of who we are and to whom we belong. That of all the things we are called to be, that we are called to be partners with God in something as amazing as the healing of the world. Here in our passage for today from the book of Revelation, God proclaims, "I am creating a new heavens and a new earth." Partnering with God right now is nothing short of remaking everything into something that is life-giving, into something that is filled with justice, into something that reminds us of God's creation that was good, that is good, and that will always be good. It is a daunting task to think of us as partnering with God in anything, let alone the creation of a whole new world. And without a huge dose of humility, it would be easy to get off track really quickly about exactly what our role is and what God's role is. But there is a truth that we are, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we're ready or not, we are, in fact, right now, creating a whole new world. Bill McKibben, in his book Oil and Honey, reminds us that the days of talking about that climate might change or that climate will change or that the planet is changing are past. The planet already has changed, and it is continuing to change. And McKibben points out that every single decision we make from here to the end of our life affects this planet and all who will follow us. Every single thing we do is part of what this new Earth is going to look like, because the Earth, it is already changing on scales we can hardly fathom. So humbly, but courageously and boldly, we are called to partner with God, speaking utterly in love and celebrating the kaleidoscope of creation. And just in case you think that this whole care for creation idea is one of these newfangled things that the United Church of Christ dreams up from time to time when we are bored, rest assured, it is not. A couple of seeds, if you will, to plant. First, the current Greek Orthodox patriarch Bartholomew recently said this: to commit a crime against the natural world is a sin against ourselves and even a sin against God. He went on to say, it is our humble conviction that the divine and the human meet in the slightest detail in the seamless garment of God's creation, in the last speck of dust of our planet. And in case that's still too recent for you, we can go back further to Francis, the one of Assisi, who said this: all creatures of this earth are brothers and sisters, and said this, that rather than a problem to be solved, the world is a joyful mystery to be contemplated with gladness and praise. And even if Francis isn't quite a big enough authority for you on this topic and why we should be involved, then maybe we need to go back just a little bit further. There is the one born in Nazareth, the one born in Bethlehem, the one whom we follow, who said that we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. A recent writing of the United Church of Christ says this: we recognize that future generations, those who will follow us, are no less our neighbors than those who live next door to us today. So friends, here on this day, on Care for Creation, we remember not a new thing brought about by this climate change, but a very, very old thing from, the beginning of Genesis, where God called us to be stewards of creation, to care for it, to tend his garden, and to help it grow. That is what we are humbly and courageously called to partner with God on this day. Amen.
Good morning. You will need this green sheet again, not the side with the survey. When I was asked to speak about care of creation, it made sense for me to speak about caring for God's people as part of God's creation. That is what, as a pediatrician, I do. And what I've learned over the many years is that this caring is never one way. The interactions I have with the families and the patients change me just as they change them. Everything one puts in always, sometime or somehow, comes back from somewhere. And that caring serves as a foundation for deep relationships that can span decades and generations. Those relationships build community. I wanted to share this passage from Isaiah with you. It is long, and that's why it's printed out for you. In the immediately preceding verses, God is berating her people. They're continuing to complain that she does not answer their prayers. They are fasting, and yet while they fast, they oppress their workers, they quarrel among themselves, and they raise angry fists. They mope because they're hungry. And she says to them, "What are you thinking? This is so not hip. Why would you even think this fast is pleasing to me? Put away your sackcloths and your ashes. This instead is the fast that I would choose for you. To loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to cover the naked. Stop pointing fingers. Stop your evil speaking. Share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your houses." These last two are important. She doesn't say, feed the hungry and house the homeless. She says, share our bread and bring the homeless into our homes. To share with them what is ours, eat with them, live with them, so that they and we become one community. And when we have done all of this, this is what will happen. Our light will break forth like the dawn. We will be made healthy and strong, and God will guide us continually. With that guidance, we will be a source of strength to others, like a spring whose waters never fail. We will use the rubble of our past, rebuilding on old foundations. That's the one recycling tip I have today. So we will use the rubble of our past, rebuilding on old foundations, and we will be known as the people who can restore ruins and repair and create a community. And our prayers will be answered. Please join with me in the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Thank you. chose Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." It is easy to take nature for granted. Sometimes we forget about God too. But when I am alone in nature, I experience God. When I was younger, I was in a field by myself. My mom asked me what I was doing. I told her that I was talking to God. Going outside by myself was a way of being alone with God and nature. I go to a Christian girls' camp over the summer vacation. To start the day, we go with Bibles into the woods and pray and read scripture for 30 minutes. Being in nature is a way to be still and know that He is God and to experience His love for us. When I do that, I become more aware of the earth and God, and that God created the earth for us. He gives us the responsibility to be creative about how to care for ourselves and the planet. We have to be deliberate about helping the earth, and I don't have to wait for camp to read the Bible or pray.
Could the children come up and join me? Good morning. So I wanted to ask you what you're seeing outside now that it's spring. What kinds of changes are you seeing?
Buds on the trees.
Right.
Sun.
Anyone seen anything colorful out there?
Flowers.
Well, there are daffodils and primroses and regular roses and all kinds of flowers.
What's in our yard?
I don't know.
Grass.
Purple, white, orange, yellow. Showing you this morning. Yeah, what are they?
I don't know.
Tulips. The tulips are up. The tulips are up. All right. So what do those things need to grow? What do they need to grow? Yes?
Rain, dirt, and sunshine.
That's right. Rain, dirt, and sunshine. And the sunshine gives them what?
It gives them light.
Light? One more thing that comes in the spring.
Rain.
Rain. What else does the sun give us besides light?
It also also gives us warmth.
That's right, exactly right. Warmth, that's right, energy gives us warmth. So we're beginning to see all these things come up. Now, where did all those things come from? Sunshine. Thank you. God gave us this beautiful creation, right? And then our job is to help do what? What do we need to do to creation now that it's given to us and we've had it for thousands of years, we people? What do we need to do? Yeah.
Protect it.
Protect it. Take care of it. So we grew some things in Sunday school starting about a month ago. What do we plant? You remember what? Sweet peas. That's right. We planted sweet peas. That's right. How do we plant those sweet peas? What were they?
Seeds.
Seeds. That's right. We planted seeds, and the seeds needed all those things you've been talking about. Water and the warmth from the sun. And then to grow like this, they needed the sunlight, didn't they?
And a stick.
And a stick. That's right. They definitely need a stick. They're going to get 5 to 6 feet tall, right? So there's our plants growing that we help to plant. They also need air, which we didn't mention, but the plants really need the air. Do you remember what for, Irving?
To live.
To live. But what do plants need air for? We need oxygen to breathe, and they also use oxygen, but they use something else from the air. Anybody know? Anybody got up to? Do you know what?
They use what we breathe out.
Right, that's right. What is it?
Carbon dioxide.
Very good. Carbon dioxide. That's right. So these plants are growing with all the things that God has given us and them to grow. So we all have sweet peas here. And sweet peas are really special because they also help to make the soil better. They actually help to put nitrogen in the soil. So we've got some healthy plants here. Everyone can take one home, but let's leave them here until after the service. And then I want all of you to come and take a plant home and put them in some sun, and they'll grow, and they'll pretty soon have flowers. And you can eat the flowers. And we should make sure that all the kids in the nursery class, so any parents of nursery children, please take one and give them a sunny place to grow. So thank you. So we all need to take good care of God's creation as it's taking good care of us. And now can we stand and say our prayer to God? When you hold hands, put this. Let me put this down. I can put it down. Please join us.
Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Oh, Lord, you're the sword of wonder.
So friends, go now. And as you go, may the blessing of God, creator of heaven and earth, rest upon you and all that God has made. May the risen Christ Jesus transform your life and your vision. And may the power of God's Holy Spirit move over this whole earth like the breath of spring. Friends, go forth now to live and love. And may the peace of God abide with you this day and every day. And let the whole church say, Amen.